Good morning. Bez Din, in many ways, is a lagging economic indicator. A number of years ago, when I first started sitting on Dine Torah, and the real estate market was booming, the majority of Dine Torah involved Bar Metzra, Ani Ma'apit B'Charara, people fighting over properties, a house went for sale, the neighbors were all grabbing it, one person was in contract, another person tried outbidding him, and that was your typical Dine Torah. Sometime later, as the market peaked, the type of issues that were presented to us started shifting. And there was a question of Mechus Ramona, specific performance. People trying to get out of deals, people trying to breach contracts, and that was your typical Din Torah. The next stage that followed, which unfortunately is still going on today, is the most common Dine Torah today are about Gevias Chayv. Collecting debts. People borrowed money. They took investments, they took iskos during the boom years. The circumstances changed, and they're unable to pay back their debts. And very often the creditors and the debtors will come to Din Torah to determine what their rights are, what their responsibilities are. Now, in many ways, these Dine Torah are the most unpleasant Dine Torah. In contrast to a typical issue, a typical fight where something happened, that someone's right, someone's wrong, it's a question of halacha, your chayiv or your pater. When it comes to gvias chayiv, when it comes to collecting debt, generally the facts are not in dispute. The creditor wants his money. The debtor very often acknowledges the debt. He understands he's responsible to pay. But it's a question of balance. The debtor says, I simply can't afford to pay you back. And the issue in halacha, and the question really is how do we balance his responsibility to pay back, the fact that he owes money, the fact that priyas b'chayv mitzvah, with the fact that although he may owe money, he's still entitled to a certain level of dignity. He still has to live. And how do we balance the rights of the creditor with the responsibilities of the debtor? Now, interestingly enough, the halachas of Gvias Chayv are discussed in Choshen Mishpah and Simen Tzadi Zayin, which you have in front of you. And what's interesting is the first halacha in Gvias Chayv, the first halacha where we discuss about collecting debt is Mitzvos Asei Lahavos L'Ani Yisrael V'hi Mitzvah Gedol L'Yoshim Min Hatzdakah. The first halacha is what a great and tremendous mitzvah it is to lend people money. And I believe the reason why we start off with this is because to have an appreciation to understand the halachos of Gvias Chayv, how we collect debt in halacha, we have to look at the whole picture. While, as we are going to see, halacha is very strict on a debtor. Halacha plays a tremendous responsibility. If you borrowed money, you have to pay it back. And the lifestyle that a debtor has to live until he pays it back is extremely restricted. So while on one hand, that seems like a tremendous chumrah, we're being very strict on the debtor. On the other hand, it has to be taken into perspective. And the perspective is that that mitzvah saseh l'havos l'ani yisrael. The Torah also puts a tremendous emphasis. There's a chiyuv, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. If a person needs money, you have a chiyuv to lend it to him, and you have a chiyuv to lend it to him interest-free. Now, if the Torah is going to create an obligation that to lend someone money, and Torah is going to force anyone with the capital to extend a loan to someone in need, then you need safeguards for that loan. Today it's very fashionable. People loan modifications. People want to stop foreclosures. We have to have rachmanos on the debtor. Bankruptcy protection. That's all wonderful. But you can't go ahead and create all sorts of kulos and rachmanos on the debtor and then complain, why is credit so tight? Why is it so hard to get a mortgage? To the extent that halacha forces and insists that a person lends money to a person in need, halacha also protects that loan and makes sure that the creditor will be able to collect the money when it's due. And the Mechaber continues that not only is it a tremendous mitzvah saseh to lend money, v'hi mitzvah gedoylo yoyser mehatzdaka. Lending someone money is a greater mitzvah than actually giving him tzedakah. As Ataz explains, if you have two people come to you, one wants to borrow money, the other one wants is just asking for tzedakah. The halacha is, if you only can only deal with one of them, you only have time for one, you only have the funds for one, the loan comes first. Now, normally the rule is, l'fum tzara agra. The more pain there is for a mitzvah, the more you give up, the more of the sacrifice, the greater the mitzvah, the greater the reward. Over here, it's the opposite. When you lend money, you're going to get it back, hopefully. When you give tzedakah, it's money out of pocket. You're not going to get it back. Nevertheless, the halacha is, giving a loan is considered a bigger mitzvah. And the reason for that is that the person who's asking for a handout, the person who's asking for tzedakah is an ani. He's already crossed the threshold. He's already embarrassed. He's so while it's a tremendous mitzvah, there's a certain amount of pain that the ani, that the recipient, suffers when he gets the tzedakah. A person who's going around asking for loans is generally holding the stage before an ani. He's been running a successful business until now. He has a cash flow problem. He's coming to you for a loan to avoid having to take tzedakah. And since by giving him this loan, although you will get the money back, but you're saving him from that embarrassment, from that bezoyun, that is a tremendous mitzvah, and that comes before the mitzvah of tzedakah. Now the Gemara in Shabbos in Daf Samach Gimel takes this concept a step further. And this is a bit less, not as well known. But the Gemara in Shabbos says that Gadol Hamal V'Yosim Ha Tzedakah, that it is a bigger mitzvah to lend money, it's a greater mitzvah than tzedakah. V'hamatzol bekis yoistim bikulam. A venture capitalist, if someone is starting a business and you invest money with him, that is even greater than a malva. Now the Chavetz Chaim points out, over here, you know, it's one thing to say that a loan is better than tzedakah, is a bigger mitzvah than tzedakah. Even though tzedakah, you're losing the money, the loan you're getting it back, still is a greater mitzvah. A matzel bekis, the venture capitalist, is going to get half of the profits of this venture. But still, the Gemara Shabbos says that doing that, giving someone the startup capital that he needs to start a successful business, that is even a greater mitzvah than tzedakah and a greater mitzvah than a halva. The Marshal explains the reason for this is that while when a person gives a loan, it's certainly a tremendous mitzvah, there's usually a limit to how much money they're willing to lend out. It's interest-free. You're not going to collect interest. So you'll do a chesed, but it's limited. On the other hand, if you're helping someone start a business and you have a share of the profits, you're going to make sure that they have as much capital as they need because you want this business to be successful. If it's not successful, you're going to lose your investment. If it is successful, you're going to be sharing in the profits. And therefore, because you have this vested interest, you're going to make sure he has enough money, and that is why it is even a greater mitzvah than a halva and a greater mitzvah than tzedakah. No, so I would like this. I would add, this is the Marshal is the one that says that investing is better because you're giving more capital. I would add there's another point, and that is that as far as the bezoyin, giving tzedakah is the most embarrassing for a person to have to accept tzedakah. Borrowing money is much less of an embarrassment. On the other hand, there is a certain level of a stigma involved that you're a bal choyv. Taking money as an investment, if you have a partnership with someone, I think that's something where there's absolutely no busha. You're partners with someone. There's no bezoyin. You don't feel like you're coming on to him. And that would explain why the Gemara in Shabbos, which is talking about how you should be doing the mitzvah in a way that causes the least embarrassment. So an investor, I think, would have the least. There's no bezoyin at all. What I would also add is that when you lend someone money, if he loses it, the money, the business goes sour. He owes it back, and he's going to have a problem paying you back. On the other hand, if you're a matzel bekis, if you're investing with him, although you're going to share in the upside, you're also going to share in the downside. And perhaps that's why it's a chesed. What you're doing is you're giving the money to the ani, and you're taking a risk. And if the business doesn't do well, he's going to walk away without any debts, without any chayvus to you, and perhaps that is part of the reason why it's a greater mitzvah than a halva and a greater mitzvah than tzedakah. Now the Mechaber continues, he goes through the Hilchos Kedima, who gets a loan first. We're not going to discuss that now. We're going to focus on Tzif Beis, which is Asur Lingoy says, Es Haloyu Lefroyu Kishayadeh Enloy. There's a Lav Doi Raisa of Loisiyo Loi Kenoisha. A person borrowed money, it's due. The halacha is, that if he does not pay you on time, there's an isur loy seal loy kenoisha. You cannot act like a creditor. And what that means is, if you're pressuring the person and trying to force him to pay up a debt, that he's unable to do so. And the Mechaber writes very clearly, the Isser applies, kishyadua she'enlo. The Isser is when the debt is due, the time is up, the debtor has the wherewithal to pay you, but he refuses to do so. He has other priorities. He wants to maintain an affluent lifestyle. He has the money, he's refusing to pay. Let's go back for a moment. The Isser of Loisila Kenosha is when the person does not have the money and you're pressuring him to pay. The Chinuch explains that you're being noigishim litzara. You're trying to cause him pain. You're applying pressure just to hurt him, just to embarrass him. But he doesn't have the money. If he doesn't have the money, he's not able to pay you, and applying pressure would be asur. However, it's very clear from the Mechaber that it only applies when he does not have the money. If he has the money, he's refusing to pay you. He's refusing to do what al pi halacha he's mechuyev to do. The Isser of Loisila Kenosha would not apply, and you have every right to demand repayment. Now this, of course, raises the question. You lend someone money. Obviously, when you lent it to him, you thought he was a good credit risk. It means you believed he had money. Comes the time, a year later, it's time for it to pay to collect the debt. He says, "Ainly, I don't have the money." Does Loisila Kenosha apply? Do you have to trust him? And what is the halacha if you don't know whether he does have money or doesn't have money? The only way to figure it out usually is to try. You try collecting it, and you see what happens. So over here, the Kesef HaKadoshim and the Chinuch both ask, normally what's the rule if you have a Safek D'Oraisa? What's the rule? Safek D'Oraisa L'Chumra. If you're not sure if there's a Safek, you have to be Machmer. So if a person owes you money, and you don't know whether he does or does not have the right to pay, the halacha should be Safek D'Oraisa L'Chumra, and it should be usur to approach him and to ask him for repayment. But it's clear in all of the Rishayim, in the Mechaber, and the Rambam, that this is not the halacha. The lashon of the Mechaber is that it's usur kishayoida she'enloi. The Isser of Loisila Kenosha is to apply pressure when you know he does not have the money. If you don't know that he can't afford to pay you, if it's a suffix, it is very clear you have every right to approach him and to demand repayment. Kesef HaKadoshim has an interesting diuk. He says, the pasuk says is Kesef Tavis, the lashon is es ha'ani imach. So he says the Isser of Loisila Kenosha is when there's an ani imach, when he's an ani by you, when you've verified and you believe he's an ani, then the Isser of Loisila Kenosha applies. You're not allowed to pressure him. However, if he's not an ani imach, if he's not an ani by you, you don't know whether he could afford or can't afford to pay, these restrictions do not apply. Now, obviously, this is subjective. A Beis Din, no one will ever know when a creditor is oppressing or pressuring a debtor. No one will ever know what's really going on in the creditor's mind, whether he believes he's an ani, whether he doesn't believe he's an ani. Al zeh ne'emar v'yoreisa melekecha. This is something which you're going to have to answer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the bottom line halacha is that if you know he doesn't have money, that is when the Isser applies. If you are unsure, or if you believe he does have money and he's hiding assets, then you have every right to pursue him and try to collect what's due. What's the name of the So the Mechaber writes, it's loisia loy kenoishi, not allowed to be like a creditor. Now, simply put, that means going over to him and trying to collect the debt, applying pressure, trying to get your pound of flesh, and embarrassing him and putting him in an uncomfortable situation. The Mechaber adds, and this is based on the Gemara at the end of Ezeo Neshech, V'yafil l'harois loy aser. Even to show yourself to him, if you know someone owes you money, and you walk by him, and you know good, and you don't say a word, but you know good and well that when you walk by him, he takes one look at you and he's embarrassed, and what he's thinking is, he must be coming to collect the debt. So it's a way of applying pressure without saying a word. Still, the Gemara paskins that that is aser. V'nei shehu nichlom v'roisei l'malva v'ein yoda masekas l'froya. Since he cannot afford to pay you, and by marching up and down in front of him, you are going to embarrass him. When he sees you, he's going to have a level of busha and bezoyan. There it will be aser. Sefer HaChassidim adds, that if you know, if you, someone owes you money, he says you should go out of your way, that if you see him walking down the street, cross the street, make a point of not walking by him, make a point of not putting him in an uncomfortable situation. Now, from a Sefer Chassidim, it's mashma, that even though you're not walking by purposely just to hurt him, you're just walking down the street, still, if you see your debtor there, and you know he can't afford to pay you, and if you continue walking and you meet him, he will be embarrassed, there'll be a bazillion, he says you have an obligation to avoid him, to go out of your way to make sure you do not put him in a situation where there's a bazillion, in a situation where he's going to be embarrassed. I would suggest you send the Arif to the Loiva then to ask him. But if you know for sure that he can pay you, and what you're doing is nothing more than causing tsar, I don't see the heter. You can, if the Arif believes he has money, let the Arif try to collect it from the Loiva. Very good, very good. So the Mechaber adds, the Rambam adds, that loisiyah loikinoisha, so let's really take a step back. Loisiyah loikinoisha applies only when the person has the money and doesn't want to pay. Sorry, if it applies when he doesn't, he's simply not able to pay you. The question is, what's the Malva thinking? If he thinks the person has assets, or he's not sure, so he's going after the debtor to collect, so I understand, he's trying to collect his money. But if he knows the borrower doesn't have any money and is unable to pay, what is he going to gain by pressuring him? So the chinuch, when he explains the isser, he says, enachami, the isser is you're doing it just, you're angry, you're upset, you're doing it kedei litzara, you're doing it just to cause him tzar, just to cause him anguish, that's what the isser is. The Rambam and the Mechaber and then adds, that the isser is also l'sulei kenosha when you're going to him, you're applying pressure, because you're going to force him to go ahead and either sell assets that belong to his wife, or to go borrow money from a goy beribis in order to pay you back. Now, because you're forcing him to do something that al pi halacha he is not obligated to do, if his wife has assets legitimately that do not belong to him, they belong to her, he has no rights to them. Let's assume that it's legitimate. We'll discuss haramos or people trying to shift and hide assets. We'll discuss that probably next week. But if the assets don't belong to him, and he's going to go, and because of the embarrassment, because of the bazillion, he's going to convince his wife to sell it in order to pay back his debt, that is l'siyah l'kenosha. You've applied pressure, you've forced him to do something that al pi halacha he's not mechuyev to do. Another example is if you force him to borrow money from a goy and pay interest. Al pi halacha, a debtor that owes money has no obligation to go ahead and refinance, to use a credit card and borrow money and pay interest in order to pay back his bal chayv. If you approach him, you apply pressure, and because of that he does something that he is not obligated to do al pi halacha, that would be like Sila Kenosha.
What happens if the lawyer himself has assets that he's been living a high lifestyle? Yeah, so he's driving a Lexus, and he lives in Orange House, remember, there's no mortgage on the house, etc., and yet he owes you. So it becomes very subjective, doesn't it? I mean, can you pressure him to sell his Lexus and trade him for a Corolla?
The short answer is yes. There is a concept of misadra in the Baal Chayv, that a person who owes money, he may not have any cash, but if he has assets, al pi halacha, he is mechuyev to sell most of the assets to satisfy his creditors. Now, he is left with some level, he can sell the shirt off his back. There is a certain level of protected assets. We probably won't get to that until next week, but we'll go through whatever that level of protected assets are. Anything above that, there's nothing wrong with pressuring him to sell. And if it goes to a Bezdin, the Bezdin would force him to sell any luxury assets that he has in order to pay back the debt. As a practical matter, I'll tell you right now, the Lexus is leased, and he's going to tell you he can't sell it. And there's a certain standard back and forth that come on, that happen every din Torah.
So much that they will willingly
That's certainly appropriate. And on their end, that's the right thing for them to do. But if you know they don't have money, and you know they can't afford to pay you back, and by asking them, they're going to be embarrassed, they're going to do something they don't have to LP halacha, it would be lo sila kenosha. On the other hand, in most cases, you have no way of knowing until you ask. Very few people have know what's doing in the next person's, you know, business and bank account. So in general, it's pretty rare to be over this isser the first time you ask. It has to be a case where it's clear and well known that there's nothing left. And in those cases, chances are you're not going to get the money regardless.
Is the wife's assets considered him having money? Is he
borrowed
money?
So again, we're going to discuss probably next week or the week after what happens when people shift assets. It's not a new phenomenon. There's Tshuva Sarosh discusses many cases where people would write their assets over to either their wife or their children who are minors and claim they had no assets. Today they use trusts. But this is an old problem, and there's discussion about if Beis Din sees that it's a haram, but they can establish that it was shifted just to shield the assets from a creditor, they can collect those assets. But again, you have to prove it. There are cases, if assets belong to the woman, she had it from beforehand, it was given as a legitimate present, they're shielded. She is not responsible for the husband's debts.
What if you have someone who's insolvent, there's a lot of pressure so that he pays you rather than the other creditor?
So when a person is insolvent, we're going to discuss that probably in 3 weeks, what happens when there are multiple creditors. You have the right to pressure him to pay you whatever you're entitled to. It would be an avla for him if he owes 10 creditors money. It would be really usur for him to go ahead and start choosing, okay, you're my friend, I'm going to pay you, and I'm going to stiff everybody else. So we're going to have to discuss the different types of liens and how the priorities play a role. But al pi halacha, a debtor has to know that if he owes money, he really has an obligation to pay everyone equally. It would be wrong for him to go ahead and pay one person because he likes him, he's his neighbor, or has personal preferences. Okay, fair enough. So we'll discuss that when we get to misogyny, when we discuss what assets are exempt, we'll discuss how to deal with real estate that he lives in.
If you're the attorney of the creditor, or if you are the man, and you're trying to collect, and then you're told by the debtor that he doesn't have the assets, what's your position then?
The safest thing to do is to send it to a din Torah. The fact that a person said, I don't have assets, you don't necessarily have to believe him. And you have every right, and if it goes to a din Torah, they don't just take his word for it. They'll want to see his financials. They'll want to see his bank accounts, his credit cards. They want to see exactly what kind of lifestyle he's living. So the fact that he made a statement itself does not mean that there will automatically be L'Sila Kenosha. When you reach the point where you believe him, where it's pretty clear he does not have any assets that he's able to pay with, at that point, then to go ahead and continue would either be L'Sila Kenosha or a Kopanim Lifnei'iver, where you because you're helping the Malva do something which is Aser. So again, there's no chiyuv to move out of town because a lot of people owe you money. What it means is laharos is mechaber means laharos, where you're making a point of going there in order to paint him. Sefer Chassidim adds that a person should try to avoid it. Obviously, it means when it's possible. When you show up in work, your coworker doesn't think, "Oh, he came to work today because he wants his money." Your coworker thinks he came to work today because he has a job. I don't think a malva has to lose his job to protect the loiv in such a case. No, it's not allowed. So the first point is that the Evan Ozlan and others on Medayik, L'Sila Kenosha is when you pressure him. When you're not doing anything, you're just there. If you look at the Rambam, it's brought down as a separate halacha. The Medayik is not a lav d'orais. Even the Isser D'Rabbanon is the Iker is when that's your kavana, that's your intent. When it's just you're there and he's there, it doesn't mean you can't go to a simcha anymore because if your brother borrows money, it doesn't mean you have to go stay away from all the family simchas. But that's a case where your brother understands also. You're there for the simcha, you're not there for him. You know, if he owes you money, if he feels a certain level of pressure, he probably should. But that I don't think that would that you have a chiyuv to give that up because of the creditor, because of the debtor. What? Oh, it's like this. When the Rambam gives, the Rambam, the Sefer HaTrumas, and the Tur, all discuss, their example of L'Sila Kenosha is when you are applying pressure, and because of that, the person will go borrow money from a guy. That's what the Rambam and most Gersayos in the Sefer HaTrumah is. That's how they say the halacha. The Tzur, when he quotes this halacha, adds one word. He says you're going to force him to borrow money from a goy with interest. So the Prisha in Siman Tzadita says, why is the Tzur changing the Rambam? So the Prisha says, because the Tzur held that the Isser is only to force someone to use a credit card, to force someone to borrow money and pay interest. But if he has an interest-free loan available, there the Prisha says that there is no chiyuv, there's no Isser of Losila Kenosha, and a person, and what implies is that a person has a chiyuv to borrow money if he can borrow it interest-free in order to pay back the debtor. What? Correct. He has the same debt. The difference is that one is current and one is past due. Right now, your debt, you borrowed a year ago, it's due. Someone else is willing to lend it to you for another year. So in order to be Makai the mitzvah, Prius Balchoyev mitzvah, to satisfy the creditor, the debt that you have right now, you borrow today, you'll pay it back in a year. If there's interest, you clearly don't have to. If it's interest-free, so the precious medayik in the tour, you would have a chiyuv to do it. Now, even in the Rambam, the truth is the Rambam, there's a real... Okay, well, we'll get back to that in a minute. Even in the Rambam, I would suggest that the Rambam says the case is you're pressuring him to borrow money from a goy. Why is it relevant? Why are we telling him about borrowing money from a goy? What? The Torah says you're charging interest, but the preacher's mandate, the Rambam holds even without interest that would be let's see like kenosha. But even in that gerusa, it's mashma. The isser is only when you're going to force him to borrow money from a goy. It seems like if he can borrow from a yid interest free, it seems even in the Rambam and even in the Sefer HaTrumos, he would have a chiyuv to do so. A goy is different because a goy, back then they had debtor's prison. If you didn't pay back in time, you got thrown into jail. Who knows what would happen to you? So to put yourself in a sakana, to pay a debt, you don't have to do. But what it's mashma from both the Rambam and the Sefer HaTrumos is, if the debtor has a way to borrow money interest free from a yid, it sounds like he would have a chiyuv to do so. There is a mashmoyis, there's a tshuva from Reino Tam, which is quoted by the Hagoyis Maimini and Ishus, Perek Yud Beis Oisches, which implies you don't have to borrow money. But from the Rambam and the Torah, it sounds like you would. Now, as far as your question, so I mean, where does Loisila Kenosha apply? It applies in most cases. Because although if the person has a way to borrow money interest-free, according to the Torah and the Rambam, you'd have to do it. That's only if he has a way to pay it back. Very often, if you have a debtor who's not paying back his chayv on time, what happened is that he borrowed the money when business was okay, where it was declining, but at that point he borrowed it, he expected in good faith to be able to pay you back. A year later, things didn't work out, business conditions did not improve, he can't afford to pay you back. If he can't afford to pay you back, and he goes ahead, and he borrows from another yid, knowing he has no way of paying this person back, that's awesome. That's doima tegezel. So Bishleim of the first loan, he took it out in good faith. At that point, he had a chesed, he had a way to pay it back. Okay, einus rechmanu patre. If he has no way to pay it back, things beyond his control, there's a limit. What can we do? But to go ahead now and to refinance, then borrow from someone else, knowing this new person who you're borrowing from, you have no way of paying back, that certainly would be awesome. There is an Imri Bina that says, Imri Bina says that whenever if he has money and he doesn't want to pay you back, he says it's mafreya, it's gezel, it's a chiddush. It's a very big chiddush. No. When he borrows, Imri Bina makes that cheshbon. He says it, and he says it's regular gezel. Other places can do not call it gezel. It's not lemafreya or toyas, but it certainly is usur to borrow money when you're not going to be able to pay it back. So because if you already owe money, especially if it was done in good faith, to go ahead and to pay back the first creditor by doing in the next creditor, by taking money where you're not going to be able to pay it back, that l'kuliyama would be awesome. And it's very often people, they find themselves in a situation, they owe money, they find themselves in a rut. The halacha is, as soon as you realize, you know, you have no way out, you have to stop. You have to, whoever the current creditors are, you have to face up, you have to tell them, listen, this is the situation, I can't afford to pay you back. You have to go through misogyny, you have to pay whatever you can, and we'll discuss the halachas of that later. But to go ahead and to refinance, to go ahead and borrow money from a gemach or from someone else to bail you out, when you know good and well you have no way of getting out of it, you're doing a tremendous avla to this new lender. It's a good point. I'm not sure if it would apply when they took the loan and they made a commitment to you, in 2 months, I'm going to take out a mortgage, I'm going to pay interest on the loan. That might be different because they made that commitment before they gave you the money. On the other hand, if they borrowed money interest-free, nothing to do with the house, and now they can't afford to pay you back, you want to pressure them to use a credit card, that would be lo sila kenosha.
I think it's extremely common that people they have one kid after the next to marry off. They don't really have, they don't, it's like that kind of business loan. They have a loan to marry off to make a custom. And they don't really have any real plan to pay it back. The only plan they're going to really do is bounce from gamach to gamach. That's what goes on in our control. I mean, what right does a person have technically to do that?
I'm not going to comment on anybody else, but if anyone is in the situation where they're going to borrow money without having a cheshbon of paying it back, there's a chud hashani that says specifically, if your whole cheshbon to pay it back is you're going to kite it from one gemach to the next, and you'll keep on going, you'll juggle it until Achamei Vesrim, you die, and then whichever gemach is left holding the bag will have a loss, he says, that's alzen nemar loy v'rosh v'lo yishalim. He says, your cheshbon is just to borrow from someone else, but you know you're going to die with the debts. He says, it's definitely would be yasser. At that point, the person has to collect. He has to collect stucco because that's what you're doing. So that's a good question. You do find in specific things luvu alive and yipareya for itzoyis Shabbos and yontiv. It's a difficult question. I can't. It may depend on the level of his bitachon. You certainly can't have more bitachon for him than you have for yourself. Okay. If you have a cheshbon, you're going to go ahead, you'll borrow the money, and then you go ahead and collecting tzedakah. And this is an amount that you can reasonably be expected to raise for tzedakah. That's mustama fine. It doesn't have to be a business deal. If that's the way you're going to come up with the money, that's a cheshbon.
Oftentimes people can't repay a loan, but typically they can pay something towards it. So
correct. You have every right. You have every right to pressure. It's like this. The concept of misadrin of Lesila Kenosha is to pressure him when he doesn't have the money. If a person has some money, he has to make some sort of payment. We'll discuss next week how much he's allowed to keep, what assets are exempt, but if he has anything that is not exempt, anything that has to go to a Baal Choyv, you have every right to ask him and to pressure him to pay that amount. Now, when you go overboard, you know all he can afford is $100 a month, and you are pressuring him for $1,000 a month, that would be awesome. But as long as your pressure is just to have him pay what al pidin he's mechuyev to pay, there that clearly would not be lesila kenosha. And quite frankly, if it goes to a din Torah, that's what Bezin does. Bezin will pressure him and force him to pay what al pidin he has to pay. So there the issue would not apply. Figuring out how much al pi halacha he is entitled to and isn't, again, that's something that we'll have to discuss next week when we talk about misandrin. Well, according to the Torah, I mean, if the way the Torah learns that the Isser is only when you're forcing him to refinance and pay interest, so to the extent that you are paying the interest for him, then the Torah there would be no Lesila Kenosha. On the other hand, if you learn the Sefer HaTrumos in the Rambam, the other Gersin in the Rambam literally, that you can never force someone to borrow from a Goy because you're putting him in a certain level of jeopardy, then the Isser still may apply. Because today I don't know how much danger a person is when he defaults on his credit card. They generally don't put you in debtor's prison today, and generally they settle for 30 cents on the dollar. So I don't know that this chumrah would apply. But no. The issue is he's not quite asking ribbis. He wants to know, can I force him to refinance if I agree to eat his refinance charge? So basically, what I'm forcing him is to borrow money. But there's no problem with ribbis because I'm going to cover that ribbis expense.
What's your
Anyone, if we knew how to answer that question, we would have solved a tremendous economic problem in this country. So the Chavetz Chaim in halacha, in the mitzvah to lend someone money, there is a halacha. You do not have to lend him money if you're going to lose it. The Chavetz Chaim suggests you get collateral, you take a mashkin, or as second best, to get an arev, to get someone who's going to guarantee the loan. In the absence, if he doesn't have a way to pay you back, then there's no chiyuv if you think you will lose money. If there's a real danger, if his situation and it's very touchy, then you do not have a chiyuv when there's no clear way for him to pay you back. Again, on the other hand, in Hilchos Shmita, you find that there's an isser not to lend someone money because maybe Shmita will come, so you have to balance the two. But in general, you have every right to secure yourself, and the person needs tzedakah. He can ask for tzedakah. He's asking for a loan. He can only ask for that when he has a way. He can demonstrate that he has the ability to pay you back, or if he can provide collateral or some level of mashkin. I don't know.
It's a. In fact, the Arkansas Corporation has a Shemitah. Well, mice and thirst going, you got to do it anyway.
I understand. So, Shemitah cannot be a cheshbon. The Chavetz Chaim does speak out that you have the right to insist on either a mashkin, an arev, or a cheshbon of paying back. If it's a day before Shemitah and he tells you, I need the loan and I have no way, no arev, no cow, you know, and I have no assets, that's different. But in a normal. I don't think so. But let's put this on. When we go through Hilchos Halva and the Halachos of Kedim, but we can get back to this. Chavetz Chaim does have an arichus about it. So going back for a moment. So Sivlo Kinoisha is when you're applying pressure. You're pressuring him to do something when you know he does not have the ability to do so. Kesef Kedoshim says a tremendous kula. He says that the Halachos of Sivlo Kinoisha and many of the chumras that we're going to see. Apply only to someone who is a bal chayiv, someone who borrowed money. On the other hand, if you have someone who owes money because he hired a payol, he hired a worker, an attorney, a doctor, he has professional fees, person bought something, there's a mekach u'memkar, or he's a mazik, in these cases, the Kesef Kedoshim says, lo yisil lo kenosha will not apply. It applies only when you lent the person money. And it's very mistavel, like we explained before, because the Torah goes ahead and says, in Kesef Talves Almi, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to lend someone money. So then the Torah on the other end has to protect that loan, and there's an Isser of Loisiyah Loikinoisha. But when it had nothing to do with a loan, it was a business deal, it was some other type of transaction, there the Isser of d'oraisa Loisiyah Loikinoisha will not apply. Now nevertheless, the Kesef Kedoshim says that although the technical Isser will not apply, you will not be over alav, when it comes to mitzvahs are very often should be taken as you're supposed to, from the mitzvah we're supposed to learn and apply it to other cases. And certainly we see the Torah is telling us that a person has to show sensitivity to anybody that owes him money. And you should not be roided, you should not go after or be too harsh on any debtor. However, the technical lav d'oraisa, the Kesef Kedoshim says, would not apply unless it started out as a loan. Now the Mechaber in Sif Gimel continues that while there's an Isser of Loisila Kenoisha, there's an Isser on the creditor pressuring the debtor. Asur Loiva Lichbosh Mamun Chaveir Veloimer Loi Lech V'Shoyvu Macher Etein V'Yeshita. There's also an Isser on the debtor that it's Asur for him to delay the creditor, to tell him come back to me tomorrow, checks in the mail. There's an isser for a debtor to push off and to dray the creditor and not to pay his chayv on time. So each party has their responsibility. The creditor can't overstep his bounds and can't apply pressure and pain him when the debtor does not have any money. But at the same token, if a debtor does have money, he does have assets, there's an isser of al tamir l'reicha, there's an isser for him to delay and to push off the creditor and not to pay on time.
Every month, and in that month, you the
cash flow gets very tight, you can't pay him. So does that become an issue where you don't have to borrow, so you're not over?
Correct. If you hired someone in good faith, when you hired him, you had the money, and now there's a problem, and you just simply don't have the money. Al pidin, there's no chiyuv midaraisa to borrow. The Arizal says a person lefim ashur sadim should borrow to pay his workers, but al pidin he's not mechayiv. Now this halacha, this last halacha, there's an iser on any debtor to delay paying his debts. So there's a very common scenario today. Is you will have a debtor. The creditor is trying to get his money, is trying to collect what's owed to him. The debtor is being busy draining him, he's pushing him off and this and that. And finally the debtor makes him an offer. Listen, if you want to settle, I'll give you 50 cents on a dollar, let's settle, and everyone will move on. If you don't take my settlement, you're gonna have to fight with me, you're gonna have to sue me in court, you're gonna have to bring me to Beis Din, we'll fight around for a couple years, then I'll declare bankruptcy, you're never gonna see a penny. The creditor very often makes a quick calculation. He realizes the debtor is right. If he wants to fight, it will take him years before he recovers legal fees. So he'll settle. So the Chuvus HaRashba that we had in Maram HaKaimus speaks out very clearly that if a person settles, a creditor agrees to a settlement simply because the debtor refused to pay or the debtor threatened to lie or to deny the debt, the halacha is, you can accept the settlement, you can sign all the releases in the world, but once you get your 50 cents on the dollar, you have every right to hold him in front of a Beis Din, and you can force him to pay the rest. And it doesn't matter what kind of document he signed or release, the bottom line is, if you can establish that you signed this agreement only because of a threat, only because he told you if you don't accept this settlement, you're not going to see anything, you're going to have to fight about it, in that case, the release is void, and you have every right to go after the full amount that's owed to you.
Is there any restriction if it turns out that a debtor lied and misrepresented his ability to pay and the purpose of the loan? Can you be after him with a waiver afterwards?
If he doesn't have money, it's not going to help you. Because, number one, he doesn't have money. And number two, it may depend. If L'Asila Kenosha only applies to Halva, and Rabina says if it was misrepresented from day one, it wasn't Halva, it was Gezel. And once it's Gezel, according to Rabina, the L'Asila Kenosha won't apply. Whether it's going to help you or not, I'm not convinced. If he doesn't have money, he doesn't have money. But the Isra L'Asila Kenosha will not apply if it is Gezel and Mafreya.
Mm-hmm. And the labor holds on the dollar that we come back to us. Is there like a thief on the labor lots of days?
Yes, not just lots of days. His silence. This mechila is totally meaningless. It was extortion. Now you have to be very careful because it depends what happens. If the case is you borrowed $1,000, you owe $1,000, you have $1,000 available, but you tell the creditor, listen, I'm not going to pay you unless I get a mechila, let's settle. There, that's the Rajba's case. This settlement, no matter what papers are signed, is meaningless. On the other hand, what happens if you don't have any money? And you tell the Mava, listen, I'm flat broke. You can look at my financials. I don't have a penny to my name. I'm willing to borrow money from a guy. And I'll pay interest. I'll pay din, I don't have to do it. I'm only willing to do that if you settle for 50 cents on the dollar. In that case, the debtor is basically a business deal. He's doing something that he's not mechuyev to do, in exchange for a partial release. And in that case, it's perfectly valid. And once you and if you accept the 50 cents on the dollar, then you have no further claim. It's only in the Rajba's case where the debtor is not doing any; he's just paying what he is mechuyev to pay. And he's forcing you to accept the settlement with a threat that he's going to lie or he's going to deny the debt. There we say it's extortion and it's baltal. But once he's doing anything for you that al pi halacha he doesn't have to do, that's already called a pshara, and that's something which you can't overturn. Same thing. If it's a case where if he is mechuyev to borrow, because if you go with the shita that it's interest free from Yisrael and he has a way to pay it back, Then the Rashba would apply. But if you hold he's not mechuyev to borrow, like Rabbeinu Tam implies, or if he doesn't really have a good way of paying it back, He has a relative that's willing to lend it to him anyway. But the relatives only do, and very often the relatives are willing to go on the limb only because for 50 cents there's going to be a settlement. In that case, the Rashba would not apply, and the Pshara would be valid. Okay. Thank you.